the recording?
Yep.
Okay. Let me just say, thump. Smiling faces. Hi.
How you doing?
God, good to see smiling faces. Tuesday night, Roseville group on a Saturday night. I'm in the right place. My name is Ralph Kova. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Ralph.
And it's good to be here. It's an honor to be in asked to speak at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It's an honor to me to be in Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It's become a real sacred place. Sacred because I see people doing the work and continuing to get better. I see lives changed for the better. I see relationships mended. Some people get their jobs back, they get the picket fence back, and they still keep doing Alcoholics Anonymous. But the most thing I've seen souls saved, mine included. So this is a sacred place. God struck me sober on January 4th, 2003. And I say that because I couldn't get sober. I could kind of get sober, but I couldn't stay sober. So God did that for me. I was a good stopper. I just couldn't power. I had no power to stay stopped. I'm not much on drunkalogs because you all know how to drink, right? And probably other things, alcohol, it looks like to me there are some people in here. Alcohol enhancing substances as well. But I will tell you a couple of short stories. My very first drink that I remember, I was probably 9 or 10. My memory could be false. A lot of drinking in my family. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. My grandpa, I think, was an alcoholic. And I'm judging them because I don't know for sure. They drank like alcoholics, the way they're described in the book. My mom showed real symptoms. It was New Year's Eve, and my stepfather and mother and sister and brother-in-law were all having a little New Year's party, and they were having eggnog and ceremony brandy. And I always got to have eggnog, but I wanted to be like the grown-ups. I'm a young man, you know. Could I have a little of the brandy? And then my mom says, no. And my stepdad, being the cool guy he was, said, let Ralphie have a little drink. It won't hurt him. Just put a little, just enough so he can taste it. Hindsight, that's all it took. I drank that, and I didn't sip on it like they were doing. I drank it in the first taste, and I drank it down, and I wanted another one. And they said, no, you can have more eggnog, but no more brandy, you know. Okay. So then I'm going in the kitchen to get my eggnog, and I'm looking around, and I'm grabbing that bottle, and I'm drinking out of the bottle. It's burning all the way down. Last thing I remember that night is I'm holding the bottle up and I'm guzzling this crap. And I look over and my stepdad's standing there going, "What in the are you doing? I just had a little more," you know. And I'm as drunk as a 10-year-old could be. So now it's starting to come up. And my tough love stepdad, put him in his bedroom, leave him in the bedroom, he'll be fine. And the story goes, my mom wanted to come in and, take care of me. He's sick. Yeah, it's good. Let him be sick. Let him lie in it. So I woke up or came to, whatever happened, the next morning, and I'm in it. It had come out here, it come out here. and come out everywhere. And I was laying in it. So I get up and my stepdad opens the door. Are you ready for some bacon and eggs? No. Well, you got to clean up your mess. So I got to clean up the mess. And I remember going to the bathroom, just white face, sick water, throwing up still. I remember a thought, thinking, that was really cool. I remember that thought. I should have known then, had I known anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember, I'm going to do that every chance I get, you know. And I did to a little more moderate extreme for a long time. I drank all through school. I drank all through high school. And among other things, because I found out if you did some other stuff, you could drink more alcohol and keep going. So fast forward like 40 years, and I'll let you use your imagination. Anything you can think of that I might have done, I might have done it. Or someone in here probably has. So there's the story. I was brought to you when I was drinking. I couldn't drink successfully without getting drunk anymore. At the last part of it, I couldn't have a drink or five. I was brought to you. You guys gave me this book. I got a thumping sponsor. I followed the directions in this book. Thumping sponsor. Followed the directions in this book. And I recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, I believe I'll always be an alcoholic. It's not a curable disease. I'm not cured. But I don't suffer from the symptoms today. And that's the most important thing I'll have to say the whole time I'm up here, I think. Never have I seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed this path. I've seen people who have, you know, on the fringe, or like Amanda said, and thank you so much, Amanda. I could listen to you for the hour. Alcoholics Anonymous, she's just talking it. I've seen people do it for a while, then they stop doing it really. Maybe they stop praying and never do really meditate, and they just kind of slack off because they're sober and they're clean for a few years. And they end up falling one way or another. This has become a way of life for me. I did it so often, so much, so many days in a row, so many years in a row now, that it's just something that I do. It's not a place where I go. Alcoholics is not something that I do once in a while. It's not the meetings. It's not this. It's a way of life. It has been ingrained in me. I had a real tough love. I have a real tough love sponsor who won't give me any slack, ever. Doesn't care how I feel. He loves me. He tells me he loves me, but he doesn't care how I feel. He looks at me and goes, I'm watching your fucking feet. Don't tell me what you're doing. Because I was all proud the first few years. Man, I'm doing my inventory at night. I'm following the instructions on page 84 through 88. I'm sponsoring people. And he's backing up and he puts his hands up. He goes, I'm watching your feet, mother effer. And he turned around and walked away. Oh, Myers says, where's the love? Where's the love, brother? He said, I love you. I care about your life. I don't care about your family. So, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm impressed. Tuesday night, Roseville Group got it going on. The only thing I can say to all you guys is you never have to drink again. There's promises, over 200 promises in this book. And they've come true for me. The only way they've come true is by doing the instructions in the book. But if you follow this path, if you get a sponsor, if you do the steps, if you sponsor people, which I do all of that, I have a sponsor, I sponsor people, and I do the work every day, the best of my ability. I fall short. Sometimes I fall short, and I know it right away as soon as I go outside. You know, I'm all good in the house. You know, I got my cats purring on my lap. Said a little prayer. I don't have time in meditation this morning, but I'm a sunbeam for Jesus in the house, you know. And I go outside and it's on. First thing that happens, I'm a little late, so I didn't have time to meditate. So I'm getting the car and I go down there and someone pulls in front of me. Cut me off. Oh, geez. Okay, well, then I get around them and I got to go get a cup of coffee. I pull in to get a cup of coffee and I get in line. And I'm nervous. I got to go. So sweet little old lady's up there, man. She's up there. She gets up there. She gets her Java half and half, 2% milk with no peanuts and, you know, this fancy drink, you know, at Starbucks or something. And that'll be $5.50. And so she gets in her purse and she just starts digging through her purse. God, what the? She pulls out her checkbook. She starts flipping it open so she can find the right. Excuse me, honey, do you have a pen? What? This actually happened. So I catch it. Pause when agitated or doubtful. Ask for the right thought or action. The thought came to me, isn't she sweet? The second thought was, I should have left earlier. Third thought is, I should have gotten up. Fourth thought, I should have meditated. It always goes back to what I'm not doing when I get restless, irritable, discontent, and it's your fault that I'm that way. It's a lie. If I have a problem, it's me. It doesn't matter what you do. Because if I don't need anything from you, you can't hurt me. If I'm in a fit spiritual condition, it doesn't bother me if somebody pulls out in front of me, because I would have left the house a half hour earlier than I needed to get here tonight on time, because it took me longer than I thought it was going to, and I couldn't find a parking place. You know, Lincoln Street's got it going on tonight. So if I practice these principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability, I continued to drink, continued to do other stuff and party. I was the life of the party. I could party hardy. I could drink more than almost everybody. I could do more than everybody. Whatever you didn't do, I would do. Whatever you didn't drink, yeah, I'll drink it. And everybody's out and going home and the bars are closed and I'm ready. Let's go drive somewhere. What's wrong with these people? I thank God more often than not, maybe on a daily basis, this is a God of mercy and not a God of justice. Because I wouldn't be here. If it was a God of justice, I'd be doing my penance somewhere else. Or I wouldn't be here at all. So thank you, God, for the mercy. Once I changed my ways and stopped doing what I was doing, with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous, only with Alcoholics Anonymous, I feel forgiven for all the harm I've done. I've made all of my amends to all the people that I could come up with that I offended, and a few that I didn't know that I offended that let me know that I offended them. Let's sit down and let me make amends to you. I was wrong. Forgive me if you want to. But God forgives me. God forgives you if we stop doing the crap we were doing. If we get asked for forgiveness and then go do it again, nah, not so much. You know, you're just gone. You caught the stupid, you know. I caught alcoholism, and I, like Amanda, I didn't know what alcoholism was. I knew I'd be one because I drank so much. And that's what I thought it was. And everything in my life was going to hell. Seemingly because of it. Everything I touched, I'd drink too much and I'd crash the car and I'd drink too much and I'd break my wife's favorite vase and then I'd lie about it. I didn't do that. Look, and I learned how to lie straight to your face because, you know, I know how people lie. They get a little twitchy, you know, they look around. Don't do that. Focus. Thank God for God. God, that He forgives me because I don't lie anymore. Because of this program, it's honesty, rigorous honesty. Well, I became cash register honest real quick. Somebody gave me change for a 20 when I gave him a 10. It used to be, all right, you know. No, now it's like, hey, you gave me too much. No, you gave me a 10. You gave me a 20. I said, no, I gave you a 10 and you gave me change for a 20. Well, I'm pretty sure you gave me a $20 bill. I said, I'm positive I did not. So I'm giving you the $10 bill back, and I'll keep the change. And at the end of your shift, your bank will match, and you'll be glad. And I walk away, you know. That part came pretty easy. The disillusion, the honesty. I broke another vase here this season around Christmas. This big around. Big white glass, thin vase. And my wife had flowers in it. It was on the hearth. And I turned around to do something. I stepped up, and I bumped it. Just barely touched it with my foot. I mean, I didn't even know if I did touch it. I touched it. It went tink and just shattered. Oh, no. She came home and she goes, did you break that vase? Yes. And she came unglued. That was her favorite vase. I'm clumsy. I'm stupid. Why didn't I move it? How could I do that? And I'm backing up, you know. That's why I used to lie. I thought, okay? I used to lie because I was a liar. And I was a thief. If I wanted it, I'd go get it. If you didn't want to give it to me, I'd wait till you turned your back. I would cheat you out of stuff. I'd break whatever it was in half. I'd keep the bigger half. It's total opposite today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I break a candy bar in half, I'm giving you the big half. Because I got mine. Here, you have the big half. What can I do for you today? It's service. The unity, the triangle, you know, the unity, service, and recovery. I'm in all three sides of that triangle, which keeps me balanced. Unity, this is the unity. The spirit of the fellowship is alive and well in this room. Service, now here I am. I drove a long way, and Ross, thank you for asking. He throws me under the bus a lot. And I'm grateful for that. And recovery. It's up to me for my recovery. God won't keep me sober. God's in the picture. This meeting, the spirit of the fellowship, won't keep me sober. If I wake up in the middle of the night tonight at 3 in the morning, it's on. I got to go to a meeting. Not going to happen up in Pioneer. There are no meetings at 3 in the morning up there. So I get to go to God. I get to go to prayer. I get to open the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and see what's going on. The meetings don't treat my alcoholism. Not running the meetings down. Meetings are good. This is a great meeting. I'm loving it. But they don't treat my alcoholism. Putting the plug in the jug, as they say, doesn't treat my alcoholism. Just don't drink and go to meetings. Well, if I could do that, I wouldn't have to do the steps. And there are some people that don't have to do the steps. They're 20, 30 years sober, and they've done the sort of the kind of the steps, maybe form of it once, and that's it. I get to put you in my fourth column because I have a resentment against those people because I can't live that way. I get to do the inventory, the steps, 1 through 9, once a year. Every year, one visit step one. If I don't keep my step one experience that I'm screwed or I'm powerless over alcohol when I put it in my system, that my life run on my will is totally unmanageable. That's my truth today after 21 years of sobriety. I can't run this show. I've seen what happens. And whenever I do start to run the show, and I do, because I think I know, I'm reminded quickly that I don't. It's thy will be done. Thy will, not mine. I talk to God a lot. I talk to God in the morning. I sit in silence in the morning. I do my nightly review. I do it in the morning. Because I'm a little foggy. By the time I go to retire at night, I'm a little foggy. And I read in the original manuscript that Bill had written, upon awakening, we reviewed the day before. That's good enough for me. There's my out. But I do it. I do it in the morning. I answer those 12 questions. Was I resentful? Was I afraid? Was I dishonest? Do I owe an apology? I write it out. I got pencil and paper. Constructively review my day. I did it this morning. I look at the instructions in 84 through 88, and I try to practice those all day. My last drink, this is just so you know, I didn't just fall in here and grab a seat. I was driving over the road, big truck over the road, hauling glass, the giant sheets of glass. See those big tarps that are up to a V? There's glass under those. I've been thrown out of the house for good this time, she said. I'm back in the house, by the way. We celebrated 50 years under the same roof in January. She's magnificent. She's like Laura. She puts up with us. We have drug her and them through the mud, and she's still there. I wake up from a night of in the casino with some other truck driving friends in just before Wyoming, and we were drinking wild turkey, shots of wild turkey, shots of wild turkey, shots of bottles. The bartender was looking at us. I must have been drinking with an alcoholic because he could drink as like I was drinking. It was real good. Or he had a tolerance. I wake up, got to go to work. I sit up in the driver's seat and I reach down my little stash place and I'm praying, dear God, I hope I saved some Jack Daniels. Oh, there it is. There's about this much in the bottom of a quart jar. And I tipped it up and I drank it all. And I threw the bottle out the window because I don't want to have open container, you know. Sick. Got my cup of coffee. I made a little pot of coffee and got my cup. Off I drove. And I drove into a port of entry in Sheridan, Wyoming. I think it was Sheridan, Wyoming. Yeah, that's the port of entry. And you got to pull in there and you go across the scales and they weigh. Then you got to pull over. You got to bring in your book, your paperwork for the truck, for the load, your permits, all that stuff. And I bring my book in and I set it on there and she says, I step back, you know. She goes, I smell alcohol. You've been drinking, sir? Oh, no, no, no. When's the last time you had a drink? 8 hours ago. You know, that's the law, I guess, or it was. She goes, well, we're having a little trouble with your paperwork. You need to sit down for a minute. So I go sit down and I just want to get out of here, you know. I ran out of Juicy Fruit. That was my magic breath freshener, I thought. So here comes a state trooper. You know, he's got the puffy pants, you know, and the boots. State trooper from Wyoming. Walks in the back door and she goes, that's him right there. So we go out back and he says, I need you to blow in this. He goes, yeah, you really do smell like alcohol. I step back and he goes, scratches his head. He looks at that and he looks at me. He goes, you don't look that drunk. So I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk, sir. And I explained to him how my doctor had told me that I have hurt my liver because I drank so much in the past. That I need to stop drinking or I'm going to die. And I don't metabolize alcohol as good as a normal person. And I'm not... I need you to blow in this again. So I, he goes, no, you got to blow in it. He goes, man. And could you do the sobriety test, the one finger and all this stuff? And yeah, I can. Yeah, I passed it. I did it. I put my fingers together. I stood on one foot, hopped like a chicken, you know, whatever he had me do. He said, well, your alcohol is off the hook. You have two choices. I can take you to jail along with my little dog in the truck, impound the truck, lose the dog, go to jail. Or are you able to pay a fine? Yes. Absolutely, I am able to pay. So long story short, it was like $900, $1,100. I don't remember. I ran a credit card and they printed a check and I gratefully signed the check. I went back to the truck. I got in the truck. I pulled the curtains around the front windows because it was a sleeper truck. I turned around. My knees are shaking. When I say God struck me sober, I was sober. I was not even, I needed a drink right then, actually. I thought I did. My knees got weak. They were buckling. I put my hands out. My arms hit the bunk bed in the truck. My hands came together. My knees hit the floor. My head fell on my hands. And I started crying. And I had a moment of clarity. I am screwed. That was my body. And the people that I've seen really get this program, that's their bottom. They're done. They're just done. It's not getting a third DUI. It's not getting thrown out of the house for the third time, never being able to come back in. It's not being locked up in jail, married to Bubba, as Mickey Bush says. Those are just things that happen because of our drinking. My bottom was I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I came to the realization that I am screwed. I can't keep drinking because I tried to kill myself. I remember drinking a quart of Jack Daniels in about 10 or 15 minutes, best of my recollection, as fast as I could guzzle it because I want to die. I've lost the will to live. This isn't happening anymore. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. I woke up the next morning. I came to the next morning and I went, oh, crap. Where am I? Ooh, and who are you? You know what? That didn't really happen. But that could have happened. And I realized, and when I'm sitting there, I'm on my knees, I'm kneeling in the praying position, which I hadn't done for years. I asked God to help me. God, please, you've got to help me. I'm dying. I'm dead. I'm dead man walking. And I haven't had a drink since then. That was my bottom. And I think everybody has to hit that point where they come to some kind of moment of clarity where they realize, I'm screwed. I need help. As soon as I asked for help, I got it. I made some phone calls and I was got hooked up with the rehab. When I came home, I went to rehab. And the rehab sent me to an AA meeting up the hill. And I walked into a room with a bunch of book thumpers. It was all about the book. Well, the first guy came over and asked me, he said, I'm going to be your sponsor. I said, okay. He handed me this book, The Gentle Path Through the 12 Steps by Hazelton. Okay. I didn't know any better. We're reading through the book. There's no instructions. You know, write your alcohol and your father and your mother and your grandpa. What is all this? Go over to his house. He's got a 12 and 12. And he's reading out of the 12 and 12 about the third step. Because I guess I'm on my third step now. I had no idea what was going on. We get down. He says, I need to get on your knees. Hold my hands in his bedroom. On my knees. I'm holding his hands. And I remember thinking, this better work. I don't know what's going on here. I did the third step prayer. And I'm sober. And I'm not as restless and irritable and discontent because I am going to meetings. I am hearing stuff. My current sponsor is reading out of the book constantly. Well, if you do the steps, and he looks right at me and says, out of the book, then you'll get well. You'll get recovered. Miraculous things can happen in your life. As long as you do the steps out of the book. He swears he didn't do that. That's my interpretation. So I went to him and said, would you be my sponsor? He said, yeah. He had given me some cassette tapes of Charlie, Joe and Charlie, The Big Book Comes Alive, and they describe how to do the fourth step. So I got the sheets from Joe and Charlie by mail, all by myself, me and the cassette tape, Charlie Parmley and Joe McQuaney, are doing. I did the fourth step on paper. So I asked JR to be my sponsor. He said, yeah, let's get together and go through the first three steps and we'll get started on the fourth. So we did the first three steps and I opened up my big folder and I had the fourth step complete. He goes, well, where did you get that? I said, well, that's your fault because you gave me these cassettes a year ago. And Joe and Charlie, he goes, well, this is going to be good. Let's have a look at that. And I've never looked back since then. And the great fact is, because I can't say it any better than this. Since that day, the great fact is this and nothing less. And I put myself here where it says we. I always thought they meant y'all or them. So my grand sponsor at the time, who's one of my heroes, has passed away since then, said, put you in there. Because that's the way he read it. The great fact is this and nothing less, that I have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, toward my fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for me which I could never do by myself. Because somewhere in the fourth step, I realized I wasn't getting up in the morning and praying to God, please help me not drink today. Please help me not drink today. Now, that got me through a lot, that prayer. But I realized I didn't do that this morning, and I'm not obsessing about alcohol, and I had very little to do with it. What the hell? This must be working. And I had no idea. Like I said, I thought an alcoholic would be someone who drank too much. No. The doctor's opinion describes it perfectly. The doctor's opinion has been proven to be scientifically true. That's what's wrong with me when I read that. Honey, look, this is what's wrong with me. I was so excited, you know, to tell her, because she'd been asking me for 30 years, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I don't know. I'm out of booze. That's what's wrong. About 10% of the people, from what I understand, have this illness, alcoholism. We can't metabolize alcohol. We take a drink. The drink goes to our brain, produces a dopamine that comes back to our system that demands another drink. So we take another drink. The drink takes the drink. And then the drink takes the man because the physical craving takes over because we can't digest it right. It's missing an enzyme, I think, is what they say. So it's not, to me, it's not an opinion anymore. It's the doctor's fact. But I wouldn't change the book if I could. It works really well just as it is. I sponsor some people and they do the same thing. I tell them, this is what it looks like. If you want what we have, you got to do what we do. Well, what is it that you have? Does anybody know what we have? We have a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Not as one of the results, or not as a kind of a result, or not as a result of something else. It's a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So I tell them that. That's what we have. Well, what do I got? You got to make the amends. You got to pay back all the money. Oh, no. I'm not making amends to that guy. Well, okay. That's all I got. Well, wait. What do you mean? Well, that's all I have. I can only point you in the right direction. I can't make you do anything. I can help you in direction if you have some questions pertaining to the steps or pertaining to the procedure during the steps. I might be able to help you. I can't save you, man. It's up to you. If God's saved me, this book would be one page and I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be home with my wife. It's a daily deal. It talks about it through a whole book. It's a daily thing. It's a way of living. Each morning in our meditation, we ask our Creator to show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love to each member of our family. What does that look like? My grand sponsor now, you know him, is Mr. Anal. He is anal. What does that look like, Ralph? Well, I'm asking God to show me the way. Well, what do you mean? What, Dave? What does that look like? Well, it looks like this, me on my knees asking God. Well, what are you going to do next time your wife interrupts you when you're trying to meditate? I'm trying to meditate, damn it, just a minute. No. I'm going to say, what can I do for you, honey? Patience, tolerance, kindness. He go, good answer, Ralph. Whew. I went through the steps with my grand sponsor once. It took us 2 months to do it. A lot of writing. Deep, deep, deep into this program. The instructions are in pages. The top of page 83 has that prayer for the patience. On page 84 through 88, there's a whole set of instructions on how to do my 24 hours a day. It's perfect for me. And I think it's perfect for a lot of other people because I see the lights on and a lot of eyes in here, and I suspect you're doing it. Or you wouldn't have that glow about y'all. There's the 9-step promises. I wasn't going to do this. I'm not going to do it. Next time you read the 9-step promises, put after a couple drinks of alcohol for each promise. Okay? Next time you read the promises, think to yourself, after a couple drinks of alcohol, I will know serenity and I will know peace. After a couple of drinks of alcohol, I will stop thinking about myself and think about my fellows. You know, I will know peace and serenity. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's the only place in the book that happens. The 10th step promises, on the other hand, don't. After I got through the first 9 steps, the language changed in the book. They weren't talking about doing steps. They weren't talking about making amends. They weren't talking about not drinking, which stopped way early in the book. It says this thought brings us to step 10. This, we're talking about doing this on a daily basis. It's meant to be done daily. Step 10, which thought's that? Making the amends. Which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. My next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. This should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch your selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear when these crop up, not if they crop up. Because they will crop up. They crop up for me. All 4 of those. Ask God to remove them at once. These are instructions. We discuss them with someone immediately. I make amends quickly if we harmed anyone. Bada bing, bada boom, I'm done. There's my resentment. There's my amends. I talk to God. I talk to my sponsor. I talk to Ross. I talk to somebody. Talk to the cash register lady. Tell her I was getting really impatient, but I'm good now. Thank you. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Turn. That's a spiritual practice, man. Turn my thoughts out here. Get out of my... This is not a safe place for me to be by myself. Still. Because I think up all kinds of garbage. No. Turn. Here's the promises. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We are seldom interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. I tried that, didn't work. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for me today because of this, because of you people, because of Ross bringing me down here. We are neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That's what I was talking about. If I'm in fit spiritual condition, you can't hurt me. The person that cut me off can't hurt me. The person that's driving too slow in front of me can't hurt me. I can pull over and sit for 2 or 3 minutes and do something and get back on the road. It's done. Because if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I don't need anything from you. I don't need you to be a certain way. I don't need you to drive faster. I don't need you not to pull in front of me. God bless you. Do what you got to do. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What I really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Here's more instructions. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with me constantly. I can exercise my willpower along this line all I wish. It is the proper use of the will. What? But I turn my will and my life over to the care of God in the third step. The care of God. And I went through steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Part of 10. I get my will back. It's the proper use of the will. God gave us free will. Let's use it responsibly. Let's use it. What is God's will? I'm not sure. But I'm positive what it isn't. Pretty clear most of the time what it isn't. So if it isn't God's will, then maybe it is God's will. Maybe I don't have to do anything. Just don't do what I was going to do. That's probably not God's will. And I get to practice this on a daily basis. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I talk to God, ask Him to direct my thinking, that it be divorced from selfish, self-pity, and dishonest, self-seeking motives. I put the greeting on my phone. Hi, this is Ralph. What can I do for you today? I practice on living up to that. Not about me anymore. I got mine. I'm free. How free do you want to be? You know, like the ocean is the water. The water in the ocean is God. If you go to the ocean with a thimble, you're going to get a thimble of water. I go to the ocean, I got a big old freight tanker dump truck as big as this room. I want it all. I want it all. But I have to be awake to see it. I have to be present. I have to be where my feet are. We're all as well, like what Amanda was saying. Right here, right now, my head's in the clouds and my feet are on the ground. And I like to stay that way as often as possible. This is a wonderful program. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love all you guys. Thanks for letting me share. God bless you.